Dan, let's start with the basic question. Why are you running for lieutenant governor?
Because I think that we can have a better Rhode Island with better schools, a better economy, and certainly better job opportunities. It's really been, as a mayor of a community that for 12 years, it's been pretty frustrating to see on the state level that we continue to have the highest unemployment in the country. We have the lowest business friendliness in the country. And as a result, we're seeing an exodus from our state of young people, and we need to stop that. So I think as a lieutenant governor with a role that I think that is there on small business advisory, you could take a real strong position on that. I'd like to talk about that a little bit in today's discussion.
Yeah, let's delve a little bit deeper on that. If you were elected lieutenant governor, what would you specifically do to try to improve Rhode Island's economy?
The way I would answer that is this. When I was became mayor 12 years ago or so, we had a 5-point downgrade on our bond rating the week before I took office. I didn't just guess on how to raise that bond rating. I called Moody's up. I traveled to New York City with our financial advisors, and I asked them specifically, what do I need to do to raise our bond rate in our community? And they gave me a list of three things, and I went and did it. Then we got an upgrade, did it again. We got our 8th upgrade since I've been in office to double A. So when I saw the study that ranked us again as the lowest business friendliness in the country, what did I do? I called the people out in San Francisco that did that report, and I asked them the very question that I asked Moody's. What do we need to do to get out of last place? What do we need to do to raise the bar in our state? Yeah, you do it specifically. They had 11 metrics that they rated us. They gave me three that they rated as the highest. It was licensing, the ease of licensing, the tax structure issues, and the job training opportunities. So those are the three things that I would work on immediately to raise us up out of last place.
As you know, some people question whether we really need a lieutenant governor in Rhode Island. What would you say the tangible impact would be for Rhode Islanders? How would they know if this office was eliminated?
Well, for me, if I couldn't show that we're lowering our unemployment and increasing our business friendliness, then I wouldn't be very effective. That's what I'm going to focus on. The other thing that I would focus on is that I had a press conference with mayors throughout the state of Rhode Island that I've been working with for the last 7 years. We're gonna open that office and be a place where municipal leaders can hang their hats for the benefit of the taxpayers that live in our communities. Our voice is absent at the state level, especially in the state offices. First of all, the lieutenant governor's office can provide the leadership that the state needs to create a better economy, as I've repeated before, better public schools, and a better job opportunities for the people in the state of Rhode Island. And in 4 years, if we haven't seen an uptick in all those areas, then I wouldn't have done my job. But I think that's what you need. You need leadership right now in the state of Rhode Island.
Let me stop you there. You're one of three Democrats running for lieutenant governor. You've been critical of one of your opponents, Ralph Mollis, for not acting sooner to investigate possible lobbying violations in connection with 38 Studios. There was a media report in 2012 that raised the possibility of these lobbying violations. So if you consider this an important issue, why didn't you speak out about it in 2012 instead of waiting until you were a candidate?
Well, first, I'm not following that. My job was to create a Cumberland that people wanted to live in, and I was focused on my job as a mayor. Today, I'm running for state office.
It only becomes an important issue once you're a candidate for a higher office?
It becomes your job. You know, the campaign now for state office means that you need to be talking about state issues. We clearly, as mayors, have went down to the General Assembly and advocated for, you know, when they cut the school funding, when they cut the general revenue. Those are the things that impacted the people who lived in my town directly. So I paid attention to that. Actually, in the 38 Studios, we just got a stack of reports on that disclosure, full disclosure for information, and we're actually seeing inside that report an article that dates back as far as 2010 that the Secretary of State's office had in their hands that talked about Mike Corso lobbying for tax credits for 38 Studios. So, yeah, don't try to recreate history here. You should have known then. And you should have acted because that was your job. That's my point. And my point is, at this point in time, we should know why the Secretary of State did not look into that matter back in as far back as now as 2010, clearly in 2012, And I think that that's important information for the public to know.
We're talking here with Cumberland Mayor Daniel McKee, one of three Democrats running for lieutenant governor. Many Democrats point to Rhode Island's current lieutenant governor, Elizabeth Roberts, and the work she's done on Rhode Island's version of Obamacare as supposed evidence for the value of the lieutenant governor's office. Do you agree with that view? And do you believe that Rhode Island can afford to maintain Health Source Rhode Island?
Well, I think that one is that I think it does show that that a lieutenant governor can champion an issue and be successful at that. And I think that Lieutenant Governor Roberts has done that. But long term, no, I don't believe that at $20 million or more a cost to maintain that the health resource, that that's going to be a good value for the people in the state of Rhode Island. And either we need to regionalize that strategy or we need to get out of the business, because that's just far too much money to spend.
Which of the Democrats running for governor would you like to see win election?
Well, I'm not coming out and supporting any one individual. And I think that the Democratic Committee got it right when they didn't endorse a candidate, because I think that that becomes very fractional. And I think it can, and I think that they made the right decision. In fact, I called for them to not nominate all the way down the ballot for that very reason. But I do believe it's important to elect a Democrat, and I will support the Democrat that comes out of the primary.
You talked a little bit earlier about your fiscal oversight in Cumberland. The community's police pension was 32% funded in 2012. What conclusion should people draw from that?
What they should draw from it is that we fixed that problem. So we've been working for 3 years to create to get an agreement that will fix that. I'll be the first in the state of Rhode Island not only to long term fix the issue in terms of the police pension, but the one shoe to drop that's going to drop in virtually every community in the state of Rhode Island is that long term liability on the health insurance, the after retirement health insurance. We've taken a $200 million long term problem in that contract. By having new employees have no health insurance in retirement, they have full health insurance while they're working, and we've reduced that. When we would have hit $200 million problem, we're going to be at zero, zero. No one has done that. No one has reduced that to that degree. And so we've addressed that problem with the contract that we just signed. It took us 3 years to do it. The town of Cumberland is in really good shape. We fully have funded the ARC.
Annual required contribution.
Both in the pension, and will be I believe the first in the state to have a plan that will fully fund the ARC for the health insurance. And the way that we structured it, like I said, that $200 million problem, long-term problem, is going to be at zero at that time. And then also we're the first in the state on the police pension side that's doing a full career average.
Okay, let me stop you there and let's just move on. I think we've gone through that a bit. What current elected official in Rhode Island do you most admire and why?
I admire the mayors. And so whether it's Mayor Policina, Mayor Diosa, Mayor Lombardi, who were all standing with me yesterday, they are doing a fantastic job. And I would move that to Mayor Fung, Mayor Avedisian. We have worked collectively together to save cities and towns millions of dollars on health insurance buys. We work together to fix a school funding formula that's bringing millions of dollars into our communities that were 4 out of every 5 students in the state of Rhode Island were being underfunded. I have a high admiration for the municipal leaders and the mayors in the state of Rhode Island, because when they lost $250 million of state revenue, $250 million in state revenue through state budgets that were passed by while my opponents were in office, we were there yelling and screaming that that's going to cause big problems. So, I admire the mayors that I work with.
How would you describe the biggest differences between yourself and your two Democratic opponents?
Well, I think results. I show a long track record in results. 7 years or 8 years my opponents have been in state office, they've led us to the highest unemployment and the lowest business friendliness in the country. I've had experience to help reverse that.
Isn't that a little bit of an painting with an awfully broad brush to put all that on someone who holds the office of Secretary of State or state rep?
No, because as you asked earlier, why wasn't I advocating on state issues when I was mayor? No, I wasn't going to advocate for those things. I had to advocate for my local issues. When I'm in state office, I'll be a strong voice for those four and five people that know we're headed in the wrong direction. And anybody who's in state office right now, in my opinion, should be speaking up. So if you were in office for the last 8 years and you didn't speak up about those issues, yeah, you should be held accountable.
Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Daniel McKee, thank you for sitting down with us.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for the invite.